fighting and stumbling when you put on this armor that God has for you. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now in a moment, we're going to focus on one part of this armory of spiritual weapons in Ephesians 6, one in particular. But let's just affirm once again that our life has a great deal of struggle in it. It's just the nature of things, is it not? Can you agree with me on that? Life has struggle in it. For example, look at your own physical body. Even if you're healthy or mildly healthy, very healthy or a little unhealthy, the body struggles every single day to be healthy. For example, we battle in the body against bacteria, the virus, the pandemic that's going on right now. There's a constant war with germs constantly. The red corpuscles fight the white corpuscles. The body's in a battle for oxygen, blood flow, brain function, kidney function, everything that happens, joints and marrow. Even our own body screams out to us every day that we have to learn to face the battles that we're in and learn to overcome them. This is also true in the spiritual world. Paul was a Christian, converted on the Damascus Road, an amazing story of true conversion. He got arrested for being a Christian, no bail, thrown in prison, chained to a Roman soldier. And even in those very horrendous circumstances, Paul looked at his jailer, the Roman soldier, and he noticed his armor. And God inspired him to look at those six pieces of armor on that Roman soldier and liken them to the armor of the Christian that God gives to us, our spiritual armor. It's invisible, but it's real. God gives us this armor in order for us in our Christian life. And so today we've come to that particular part of the Bible that talks about the helmet of salvation. Look with me, please, at chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Today we're focusing on take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Of course, when you think about a helmet, you think about having your head, your skull, your brain, your mind, your mentality. Isn't that right? That's what a helmet does. And because a blow to the head can be so devastating, even life-threatening, we protect our physical cranium, our physical brain, our physical head. If you get an injury to the head, it can hurt you in your eyesight, your teeth, your nose, your lips, your ears, your mind can be affected, the brain can be damaged. My grandson's girlfriend, Paige, just recently got a concussion playing soccer. It can happen any place, anywhere, at any time, and nobody is immune from it. In fact, when you look around in life, you see many different kinds of helmets, don't we? For example, in construction workers wear hard hats for protection. What about policemen, firemen, football players, baseball players? And of course, then there are soldiers. Every soldier needs a helmet to protect him in war. The Bible tells us to take up the helmet of salvation. So this Roman soldier, he wore a metal helmet. But you and I don't wear metal. We wear a spiritual, invisible, and invincible helmet. By the way, a soldier's helmet is not invincible. But a spiritual helmet given to us by God to protect our minds is invincible. And by the way, I know that all of you would agree with this, that in this complex world that we're living in right now, we need the Spirit of God to protect our intelligence, our mentality, because there are so many complex issues going on in our world today that we have to battle against. Think about it. In society, There are race issues, political issues, financial issues, family issues, marital issues, health issues, national issues. And it's so complex in many respects. And it takes the power of God in your mind to enable you to keep these things clarified and have the goal of following Christ. And by the way, that's the secret of living a mentally strong life. You focus on God. You focus on His Word. You focus on Christ. You focus on these clarified eternal truths help you and me to keep ourselves from being completely overwhelmed by the many voices that are shouting in our ears today. And they're everywhere. They want your allegiance. They want you to follow them, to do what they do, to say what they say. And for that reason, we need the spiritual helmet that helps us stay strong mentally. In fact, I read an article the other day that said, it's entitled, How to Build a Better Brain. I thought I would need that. So I read it, and it was very, very interesting. How to Build a Better Brain. The first thing I noticed in the article was that according to them, 50% of the things people do and think every day are T-O-X-I-C, toxic. What does that mean? Poisonous. The millions of messages being thrown out, being spoken, being visibilized, visualized, expressed on media today are toxic. Half of what we think in our own head is toxic to us, poisonous to us. And I believe this because we are so bombarded with so many things. And then the article said there are certain ways that you can make your brain better, make it function better. One way is your diet. Eat a lot of greens and other things. Make certain that your diet is right. And then, according to this article, you can buy an at-home brain zapper. An at-home brain zapper. It's an electrical brain stimulator. It only costs $99. Think of it, a brand new brain for only $99. It's called the transcranial direct current stimulation. I'm certain you're thinking now of relatives you'd like to buy one of these and have their brains stimulated. It encourages the brain to be re-stimulated. They went on to say that the right amount of sleep, the right diet, as I said, exercise and walking, or even more strenuous exercise, playing games, different kinds of stimulating games, helps the brain to do better and stay better. Then I read something else interesting this week about the brain in the area of phrenology. Phrenology. I wasn't exactly familiar with it. I'd heard of it, but I read a little bit on it. It's called a pseudoscience, which involves measuring the bumps on the skull, the lumps and the bumps and the curves and the flat places on the skull. And by that, they say that you can tell a person's ability to function and the indications of their character. Now, it's called a pseudoscience, not exactly science, but by feeling of the skull and feeling the lumps and the bumps, you can find out detrimental character or positive character. I kind of say it's true in one way. Many times over these years, I've bumped my head and a lump or a bump popped up, and immediately I said, stupid. So see, it does work. I mean, you can just feel the bump. Get the lump, and you'll find out. But there's a lot better way, many better ways in the Bible of keeping ourselves mentally alert, because the helmet of salvation, which is invisible and invincible, as I mentioned to you, helps us to stay mentally fit, mentally strong. After all, how much of life is mental? All of it. Every bit of it. Everything starts in the mind. Every word is first a thought. Every deed is first a thought. Every action first a thought. Your brain is the center. This is why the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. Give your mind to God. God's given His mind to you in the Scripture. Understand Him. The Bible says, put on the helmet of salvation. Now, I want you to think about that with me for a moment. The helmet of salvation. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? The helmet of salvation. So the question arises, what is the helmet? The helmet is salvation. If you put on the helmet of salvation, that means that the helmet is salvation itself. I could give you a lot of reports, more than I did, about the brain, but we're not talking about the brain this morning in that sense. We're talking about the helmet that is salvation, and that salvation is the helmet. Because when you become a Christian, you have the mind of God. And there are many kinds of minds, aren't there? Sometimes we say a person has a political mind. They have a sports mind. They have a scientific mind, a legal mind. They have a business mind, a human resources mind, a social mind. But every person must have a spiritual mind to survive. We call this the Christian mind, or the God mind, or really today, more accurately, is called the salvation mind. Every believer has a salvation mind. God's goal for every human being is to have a salvation mind. A mind that has a helmet of salvation within it, around it, above it, below it, beside it, completely surrounding it. And that salvation is the helmet. That's the reason when we become a Christian, we make an intelligent, willful commitment to follow the truths of the Bible and follow after and pursue the mind of God. The mind of God. This is what God wants you to know. There's some very exciting things about the salvation mind. Number one, the salvation mind is very optimistic. I don't mean overly optimistic. I mean optimism with realism. But the Bible gives us a reason to be optimistic. For example, the salvation mind is joyful. In the book of Isaiah chapter 25, the Bible says, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. You can get happy, you can smile, you can have joy in your heart if you have Christ as your Savior and you are experiencing salvation. Isaiah 61:10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're one of the best people, best dressed people around. You look great. You look fantastic because you're wearing the spiritual clothes of God, and part of that are the garments of the helmation. Not only is the Christian mind or the salvation mind optimistic in joy, but it's also full of peace. The salvation mind has peace, but I want to reiterate to you that there's a battle going on in your mind to steal your peace. So take your Bible with me, please. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's see where this battle lies about our minds and the battle to bring our minds into disarray between looking at the world rather than looking at God. Romans chapter 8, look with me there beginning at verse 5. You might want to mark this passage. Read it for yourself. Read it later. But let's read. We're optimistic, full mind, but notice the battle that goes on here. Verse 5 of Romans 8. Those who live according to the flesh, that's not just skin, that's an attitude of life, physical life only, no spiritual. Who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now listen carefully. The mind governed by the flesh is death. That's mental death, spiritual death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law and cannot do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So you see, the Bible tells us when we belong to Christ, we have the mental capacity to keep our peace, to live in peace in spite of the battles that we face. So we have an optimistic mind. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Every day you can get up and God is in your mind. And your mind is on God. And you will win the battles that try to steal your peace and joy on that day. Not only that, the salvation mind also operates in a very special way. It's always in operation. It's never closed down. It's never on vacation. It won't bankrupt. It won't go out of business. It's always in operation. And I want to share this great truth with you. This is a classic Bible teaching, and yet it is so contemporary. It's classic. It's been taught for hundreds of years from the Scriptures. But it's also as contemporary as you and I are sitting here in this room today. And it tells us that God's salvation helmet operates in three dimensions. Three dimensions. This is what God is doing for you right now. This is so good. It's so rich. So I hope you'll try to turn on your memory and remember some of these thoughts. They are theological, but they're personal. And as I said, they're classic and contemporary. We're saved in three dimensions. We'll begin with this passage. Listen to me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Let me read it. We were taught with the truth that is in Jesus with regard to our former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. As you're sitting here today, as you're watching this, you have an attitude going on right now. And it's coming out of your mind. It's godly or ungodly, worldly or spiritual, negative or positive, righteous or unspiritual. It's your attitude of mind. So the Bible tells us that we are to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. So there's where these three dimensions flow from. Here they are. The first dimension is the dimension of the past. Because every Christian can say, I am saved. I was saved at a certain point in my life. I trusted Christ to be my Savior. And that salvation that came to you at some point in your past saved you from the penalty of sin. That's a key word. When you were saved at some point in your past, if you were saved, you were saved from the penalty of sin. We call that justification. As the old theologians used to say, justified by God, just as if I'd never sinned. You're justified because Christ paid the penalty. Dimension number two, the present. I am being saved every day. We're saved eternally once and for all forever, but every day we are being saved. This is called sanctification. For example, I was married many years ago, but I'm married every day. I'm remarried every day with my bride. We are saved once and for all and forever, but we are being saved every single day. We're sanctified to God, which means we set ourselves apart. We dedicate ourselves. We devote ourselves to God. That's sanctification. This means that you will be saved from the power of sin. In the past, you were saved from the penalty of sin. but in your everyday life you are saved from the power of sin. Listen, my dear Christian brother and sister, you don't have to sin.
Amen.
You're not obligated to sin just because you're tempted, just because your peers try to pull you aside, just because it's right and alluring to you. You don't have to sin mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. You're not obligated, as Romans says. And this mind of salvation, this salvation mind, sanctifies you from the power of sin over your life. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Who would you be today, and what would you be if you had no protection and power to overcome your temptations? Now, you know this, let me say it. Some people don't know it. Christians are tempted every day.
Amen.
Don't ever think, well, I'll become a Christian, I'll never be tempted again. Wrong. You'll be tempted probably much more because you are a Christian. But you have the power to overcome. So we've named two dimensions. Number one, the past. The penalty of sin taken away. Second dimension, in the present. The power of sin taken away. And then there's the third dimension, the future. The future. You have a tremendous future. I'm not talking about tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or a year from today. I'm talking about eternity. Heaven. Heaven is our future. We are the wave of the future. We're on the way to the future. And we have the future coming to God. It means that we are saved from the very presence of sin. Now, what do I mean by that? Today, when we live in our world, we have sin around us all over the place. It's present everywhere. But in heaven, the Bible says in Revelation 21, nothing impure will ever enter into heaven, nor anybody who's impure. They won't be in heaven. You will not have any presence of sin in heaven, and you will have a glorified personality and glorified body. Yes, Christianity has a glorified, resurrected body. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the whole gospel for the whole man or woman for the whole of eternity.
Amen.
A whole gospel. That makes you a whole person. And so the helmet of salvation or salvation mind operates in three dimensions. And you ought to be thanking God every single day that you have these three dimensions working for you. You're blessed. I mean, you really are blessed. I'm not just saying some slogan. You are blessed.
Amen.
So act like it. Live like it. Speak like it. Enjoy it. And let God's power reside upon you. But I'll tell you something else about this salvation mind. It overflows and outreaches to other people. It's too good to be kept. You can't keep it. When there's salvation in your mind and in your head, it's going to be on your lips and it's going to flow through your body and it's going to be shown. Because it overflows to... That means that you and I become human instruments of the mind of God. That's right. You become a human instrument of the mind of God because God's mind is working in you, in outreaching. Now, this is probably one of the hardest things, the most difficult things, the least things done by the Christian, the average Christian. But there's no reason for it to be that way because God gives you the mental powers to be a good testimony for Christ. But a lot of us are like Jonah. Remember that little book in the Old Testament, only four chapters? It tells about a runaway Christian or a runaway believer in his case. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to outreach to them, to overflow to them with the gospel. Well, he didn't want to do it. The Ninevites were his enemies. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to burn. He wanted God to get on them. He wanted God to take them down. And he let it be known. The first thing he did, he went the opposite direction of Nineveh. He was going to make certain that God didn't have any say-so through him. Say, well, go, let him go. No, that's not our way. Jesus came to seek and to save, and he sends us out too when we have the opportunity in front of us to tell others about the love of God. And Jonah became a witness. He went back. He turned around. You know the story, don't you, of how Jonah was swallowed by a whale or a great fish. Sometimes people say, well, do you really believe that story? Well, yes, I do, because Jesus Christ believed it. Amen. He referred to it in the New Testament. He made a point to say it actually happened in history. One time there was a teacher. She had young students, and she was talking about different kinds of creatures, whales included. And she said, whales are the largest, but they cannot swallow people because their throats are too small. And one of the young students in the class said, yeah, but the Bible says whale. And the teacher said, well, you can't always believe what you read. And the little girl said, well, I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. And the teacher said, well, what if Jonah didn't get to heaven? Little girl said, then you ask him. Yeah, there's going to be a heaven, and there's going to be a hell, and there's going to be a time to ask questions. Yeah, Jonah was real, and he finally came around. He began to outreach. And I want to tell you something. Find a way to let the love of God in your life flow through you, because you are a human instrument for God. Your life counts, and right now counts forever. Here are some possibilities to find a way to share your faith when the opportunity arises. We're told in Psalm 96:2 to proclaim His salvation day after day among the peoples, and as a plural, peoples, all the ethnic groups, all colors, all races. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, says the Scripture. Here's some ways you can do it. First of all, you can text somebody on Facebook or on your phone, or send them something on Facebook. You can give them a musical CD. You can send an internet image or message of the Christian faith. My wife is really good at this. She sends out Christian images to various people almost every day. And they see a quote and a picture of the Christian faith. You can give them a magazine. Recently, I bought 2 gift subscriptions for my family members, and they'll be receiving them soon. It's a way of sharing the gospel with Christians and non-Christians. You can make a phone call. Can you write a note? Send a letter? Can you give an invitation? Can you say, come and be with me at church? Can you quote a scripture? Have you memorized John 3:16 yet? Well, at the right time with the right person, say it and say, this is what happened to me. I fell in love with God because God loved me first. And then just say John 3:16. That's your witness. Make a visit. Give a gift. Shelly and I gave a gift this week to someone that I think was encouraged by our gift that we sent to them. You see, being an outreach Christian is both personal and local and congregational. But it's global. It's global. The gospel is to go all over the world any and every way we possibly can. So this salvation mind is very optimistic. It has an operating power. It has an outreaching attitude. And not only that, we need this mind to reach out to others. We need this mind to reach out to others. And you know why? Because men and women without God have a corrupted mind. Amen. Let me say that again. Men and women without Christ's mind, the highest educated, the lowest educated, the craftiest, the wisest, without Christ, have a corrupted mind. Now here's what happened. In the Garden of Eden, when mankind began by God's hand of creation, Adam and Eve together sinned against God. And they passed on that genetic desire to sin. And all men are sinners by habit, by practice, and by repetition. We all sin. It seems like Adam and Eve gave us a concussion of sin in the mind because we received their sinful attitude. We were born with it. Now, there's nothing you can do about that. Oh, let me take that back. Yes, there is. You can get a new mind. You can have a new mind. I've never forgotten a Christian and beginning to read about God's great power. One day I was reading and I came across 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person, it said, is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
Old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. And I just put down my Bible. I just kind of leaned back and I said, oh, that's what's been happening. That's what's been happening to me. My old stuff, my old mind, my old attitude, my old self has been passing away. Still not completely dead. But my new life, my new mind, my new heart, my new spirit is alive and well in Christ, and I am a new creation. So we need this new mind. We need it because our minds have been corrupted by God. That's the first step to a new mind, to see and realize that you need a new mind, and then to repent and simply say to God, I'm sorry that I've sinned. I got it from Adam, but then I carried it on myself. I pass it on to my children. I do it all the time, and I repent of it. Now, let me explain to you a very important distinction between just simply saying I'm sorry and having what the Bible calls godly sorrow. Now, listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. I don't know of any Christian who's ever regretted of repenting of their sins and receiving Christ, being born again, having a new mind and a new heart. And one day they just up and said, oh, I'm so sorry I became a Christian. No, they're happy they became a Christian. There's no regret in godly sorrow, but there is regret in just feeling some sentimental or ego-centered sorrow for the sin and getting caught in it. That's not godly sorrow.
Amen.
Godly sorrow brings repentance, but worldly sorrow brings death. In other words, it doesn't bring you any life. It just takes you on down the road to the day you die. So see what this godly sorrow produces in you is repentance and new life. That's the reason we preach and teach repentance.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. And by the way, guilt is a magnificent thing. It really is. You know why? Because guilt will make you turn to God. You know why so many people are mentally sick and ill? Because of guilt. You know why so many people try to hurt themselves, do damage to themselves? Because they're guilty and they know it, and they want to punish themselves for what they've done. When all the time, here's Jesus Christ upon that cross with His love oozing out in that crimson blood, and His heart open to you and His mind open to you. Bring it with me. Don't carry thousands of tons of guilt around with you, dragging them along with you every single day of your life. Be smart. Get smart. Come to the cross. Come to Christ. Repent with godly sorrow and be changed. Be made new. Be made a new man. Become a new person and have a brand new life. And when you do that, when you trust Christ, you'll go forward and you'll have salvation, eternal salvation. The other day, Sally and I were at the local cemetery, and we met Clarence, one of the officials over there at the cemetery. I had a service there. I was asked to speak for the family. So after everything was over, Sally and I were there, and Clarence drove up, and we were looking at a certain place there in the cemetery, and we found out that Clarence was a Christian, and he was giving us his testimony, and we were giving him our testimony. But something suddenly said by Sally really got his attention, talking about salvation and being secure and eternal security. Sally said, my ticket is paid for, because we were talking about going to heaven. For some reason, that really tickled him, made him laugh. He got a big laugh out of that. My ticket is paid for. And that's the truth. Our ticket is paid for. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to follow me in for a moment. My train of thought about this. My train of thought is this. You must ask Christ to be your Savior. You must get on board the salvation train. train's pulling out of the station. You've messed around and procrastinated and made excuses long enough, don't you think? Don't you think it's time to come clean and get right with God? That train is pulling out of the station. It's going to leave you. It may be too late one day. You better run. You better jump. You better get there as quickly as you can of salvation, because that train is headed for a wonderful destination called heaven. And you won't get there unless you walk up to Christ who loves you and says, I repent. I believe. I'd like to take that ticket. And you take that ticket. It's all paid. Paid in full by Christ. And you can get on that train and ride those rails all the way to heaven. God wants you to have it because He loves you. This is the salvation helmet that God wants you to have. So my dear friend, I encourage you with all my heart to make certain that you have the salvation mind, the helmet of salvation, the salvation mind. Do you have it? Do you have Christ? Are you living out of that mind or your own mind? Live in the mind of Christ, because that mind is indiscriminate. Anybody can have the mind of Christ. It's immediate. Every single day of your life, if you're a Christian, you can immediately call upon the mind of God to help you. If you're not a Christian, immediately, right now, through prayer, you can invite Christ into your life and bring His thoughts and truth with Him. It's invaluable. There's no other place in this world, no university, no family, no friend. No one can give you this mind except Christ. Only Christ. He alone is the way to mental stability. And it's invincible. Nobody can take it from you. The devil, the world, the flesh, or sin. It's invincible. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Question. Have you been neglecting salvation? You've just been neglecting it. Time's going to run out. Today, day to be saved, to take your ticket from Christ. That's what I want to pray about with you right now. Would you bow with me? Dear Lord, I'd like to pray for anybody who's listening to pray right now and invite them. Lord, help them to repent. Help them to see the truth and stop neglecting this all-important day. And walk up and take the ticket of salvation out of your hand and believe you and trust you and start learning how to live out of the mind of God. Help them to put on the helmet of salvation and have a salvation mind. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.